Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the ISO's Powering Tomorrow podcast. My name is Terry Young.
And I'm Jordan Pennick, and we're your hosts.
In each episode, we sit down with our guests to get their perspective on the opportunities and challenges power grids are facing in the midst of the rapid transformation happening in the industry. We'll also learn more about some of the innovative ideas or concepts helping to shape the future of the electricity system. So I want to start off by wishing everyone listening a Happy New Year.
It's hard to believe 2019's over and we're entering the third decade of the millennium. I feel like I do remember like when, 2000 was coming around and we had Y2K and everybody in the electricity sector was a bit, it was a buzz about what the implications might be. You were around, Terry,
I was.
I
remember
was,
it. I remember it. I remember it very well. I remember I was working for Hydro One at the time and I was this is the senior communications person, and we had put a lot of work into getting ready for Y2K. We had worked with the ISO, others, all kinds of market participants. And I remember I reported to work at something like 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning on New Year's Eve day, knowing it was going to be a long, long day. And every hour as it turned over, we were watching every other jurisdiction in a different time zone turn over with no issues whatsoever. And I remember probably about 11 o'clock in the morning thinking, this is going to be a long day. These are 16 or 17 hours. I'm never going to get back. And sure enough, at midnight, we were all, we were plugged into the IESO control room, in fact, and heard the chief operating officer at the time, Paul Murphy, count down a 10, 9, 8. Those were a long 10 seconds, too. And of course, nothing happened. So it does speak to the preparation. It does speak to the preparation we do in the sector. But yes, I remember that day very well. How about you? What were you doing heading into this century?
I wasn't working at the time. I was in university, but I recall we had a get together with some friends at the time, and one of my buddies, his father actually worked in the electricity sector, so he was kind of leading up to it. He was talking a bit about the implications. Dad was doing some work with the company to make sure everything would go smoothly, and so a couple of us got together and thought it might be a bit of a funny plan, a funny prank, and we decided that maybe at midnight we were all kind of in the house, but somebody would be down at the breaker and actually just pull the plug. So we do the countdown, everybody's waiting, and then all of a sudden the power goes out in the entire house, and our he immediately panics. He's, oh my gosh, my dad's gonna be fired, like this is it, who's gonna pay the bills, what's gonna happen, like. And so we had to calm him down, and everything was okay, and he asked him to just turn around look out the window and see all the lights were still on. But for a brief moment there, we had some fun and create a little bit of panic for
Jordan. Remind me never to introduce you to any of my kids. That's all I can say. Right. Let's get to the first episode of 2020. In this episode, we're taking a look at the growing frequency and sophistication of cyber threats. Speaking of going into the next century, and these cyber threats, as we know, are targeting all facets of society, including public and financial institutions, our personal information, even, and critical infrastructure. Structure like the electricity system. In just a moment, I'll be chatting with Scott Jones, and Scott's the head of the Canadian Center for Cybersecurity, to learn more about his organization's role as Canada's authority on cybersecurity. We'll also get his take on the importance of organizations in the energy sector and beyond, sharing information and working together to shore up their cybersecurity defenses.
And later in the episode, I'll be speaking with Brendan Rogerson from the ISO's cybersecurity team to learn more about what the ISO is doing to strengthen the system's resilience against cyber incidents. And here's a hint. It takes collaboration with our partners inside and outside the industry. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
I'm now joined by Scott Jones, who's the head of the Canadian Center for Cybersecurity based in Ottawa. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today, Scott.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start a little bit with the Canadian Center for Cybersecurity. When did it get started? What's the mandate?
So we were formed in 2018. It was a result of the federal government cybersecurity review. And so in October 2018, we stood up, and our mandate is to provide the single unified source of expertise for the federal government at the technical level. So there is one front door for getting cybersecurity advice and guidance, and it is the Canadian Center for Cybersecurity.
And how's it been going so far?
Well, we've been pushing ourselves to really change our mandate, get out there, partner with the industry. It's going really well from our perspective. Of course, cybersecurity is a challenge that we all 37, 38 million Canadians face. So scaling to that challenge is something that's always something that we need to work on. But really, it's been going really well. We've got a great partnership, for example, with the energy sector in Ontario, led with our partnership with the ISO. So it's been great to have great partners like that to help us grow our reach.
So when you look at the electricity sector, is it an industry that you would see as being more susceptible and being targeted, if you will?
Well, certainly targeted. We know that the energy infrastructure is something that is targeted both by cyber criminals, which our National Cyber Threat Assessment says is the thing that most Canadians will face in the cybersecurity realm, but also by nation states. The energy infrastructure is targeted around the world when you want to show that you can do something, that you can have an effect and an impact. And so working together, we can make the energy infrastructure more resilient against any sort of cyber threats, get information out and share.
So let's talk about sharing and some of that collaboration, if you will, that's been going on with the electricity sector and your organization. Can you tell us about that?
Well, so it starts off with building trust. So we started off really just talking about what threats we see out there. We published the National Cyber Threat Assessment, as I said, but then we moved on. We want to be the people that do. So we want to partner on doing something about the threat. And so that's where we've got our Project Lighthouse, where we've worked together to start to say, how can we look to see what's happening out there, get ahead of the threat, not just respond to an incident, but try to prevent incidents, try to get better knowledge of what's happening out there so we can increase the resiliency of the sector. And really, really finding and building that trust model and expanding that out eventually to the nation.
So tell us a little bit about Project Lighthouse, if you can. Expand on that if you would.
So it really starts off as how do we share what we're seeing? What are we seeing that starts to look maybe suspicious on our networks? We know that cyber threat actors don't target us as individual organizations, individual companies. They're going to target broadly, and they target the sector. So are we seeing something that maybe doesn't look bad from one organization's point of view, but you put us all together, and suddenly now we're seeing a pattern. We're seeing something emerge. And that's what Lighthouse is. It's how do we break down those organizational silos and come together to protect the sector and see what's happening.
And so if you look at this and when it started and what you see happening over the next little while, can you share some of that?
So we certainly would like to see it grow, to grow our number of partnerships as part of this, to grow eventually beyond Ontario and beyond the domain of the ISO and into a nationwide. The grid is interconnected. So what are we seeing? So how can we share more? Get ahead of the threat? How can we start to do analysis to say we're starting to see a trend at the very beginning of reconnaissance rather than attempted exploitation, for example? And we know that that's something that is certainly out there. And really, how do we get that proactive about threats that we're seeing? We're already sharing a lot of information with the sector, certainly when we're seeing it targeted. We want to make sure that we're ahead of that threat as much as we can, that we have the relationships we need if something bad does happen, and hopefully that we will deal with each other before an incident gets really bad. And that's the goal. It's really about resiliency.
And you're really trying to drive the awareness of what you're offering, of how organizations can benefit from that, I guess, in terms of that shared information.
Absolutely. But also what expertise the sector can bring with us. We are not experts in how to operate the energy infrastructure and how to operate the grid. We bring some expertise on threats, and certainly we bring the access to the foreign intelligence pieces, if you're talking about nation state threats. But the sector brings the expertise in the industry itself, and we really want to merge that. We all bring expertise to the table. We work as peers on a common challenge, which is how do we increase our cyber resiliency.
And are you seeing that this is becoming more recognized in the terms of the potential threats by leaders in this sector?
Absolutely. I think if this isn't one of the top two conversations that boards are having right now, I would be really shocked. I haven't found many boards where this isn't as at the very top of their risk list. I think one of the biggest changes we've seen in the sector, though, is we talk about it not from the topic of information technology or operational technology. We talk about risk, business risk, and how do we start to address that and lower that risk threshold and the actual what we face together as an industry and also, you know, personally as a consumer. How do we address that together? And I think that's the big change. It's we've stopped talking about it from a technology perspective and really put it into business terms.
And so when you mentioned the consumer and you think about, you know, from a business point of view, I think you've got a lot of businesses, certainly in the electricity sector, mm-hmm. that are very much well aware of the threat that's there. But if you think about, you know, the average Canadian, if you will, what do you think they're like? Is there an awareness that you're trying to bring or that you know that is needed, if you will?
Well, we face a pretty significant challenge there. I think the average Canadian really doesn't understand how complicated the energy infrastructure really is and how much work it takes to get that, to get that simple act of plugging your device into the wall to get the power to flow to that. I don't think it's well understood. Because frankly, the industry has made it so reliable that we just expect it. We expect it always to work. And as long as we do some basic things, it's safe, right? We take that CSA stamp or the and we know it's safe. But now with cybersecurity, that enters in a whole new dimension. And so as we bring more complicated systems online, as the industry grows more complicated, new sources of generation, microgeneration, et cetera, well, that increases the complexity for the infrastructure operators, but also for the consumers. And that's something that it's really hard to explain just because we don't think about it very often. It's just there. So that's going to be the big challenge, is how do we bring this? How do we bring this into a way that it people can understand why investment is required, why we need to invest in cyber resiliency as much as physical? You can see when a pole is snapped because of a storm. Certainly, we've seen that in where I live in Ottawa a lot over the last few years. It's hard to see when there's a cyber impact and how come that happened.
And then if there is an impact, understanding why it happened and what you can do to deal with it and prevent it in the future is kind of next steps, if you will.
Absolutely.
So when you think about, and this is maybe a bit unfair, but your organization's had less than 2 years under its belt, but if you start to think forward a bit, tremendous gains in that period of time, tremendous awareness. But if you start looking at the landscape over the next 5, over the next 10 years, if you will, what are you seeing?
So the organization is less than 2 years old. It's actually just a little over 1. But we've been doing some form of information security for 70. We were born out of World War II, so we've got a lot of background in here. So where do I see the industry? What do I see the challenge and the threat going? Increasing sophistication. Cybercrime is growing in sophistication, and how do we start to deal with that? How do we deal with it as a nation? We're going to have to start to tackle it, and that means also reporting to police when there's a threat, when you are a victim of cybercrime, making sure that you're saying and getting the police involved so they can start to investigate. But I think cybercrime is certainly increasing in sophistication.
And yet I've heard you say that it's very much underreported.
It absolutely is underreported. And the part of that is the victimization. We tend to, in cybersecurity, when there's a breach, we usually blame the victim. We blame the person who was breached, and we don't really look into it. And part of this is that we need to be better victims, meaning we report it and we acknowledge that there was an incident, and then we take action.
I mean, we're all very busy. We're all, you know, we take our courses to, you know, deal with this, but there are going to be incidents that are going to happen.
There's no way to make yourself invulnerable unless you completely disconnect from any form of technology. That's just not reasonable in the world we live in now, which means we have to work on how do we make ourselves more resilient by layering. So you can make a mistake and it's not catastrophic. Right now, and a lot of organizations, if you click on that spear phishing email, that bad link, it's a catastrophic mistake. We have to layer in security so these aren't catastrophic mistakes, that it doesn't cascade through our infrastructure, and that we have ways to recover. Either isolate the damage, contain it, and then recover. These are all concepts that are actually probably very familiar to this industry.
Right. So when you think about this industry, you think about the electricity industry, you think about other industries in terms of, you know, what are some of the things you're telling organizations in the electricity sector that they can do to shore up their ability to deal with this, if you will?
Well, the first thing is this, that we're talking about it. We're talking about the cybersecurity risks. I find this is a very easy sector for us to work with, because these are already very familiar concepts. The concept of being resilient from the start, building that engineering it in. But talking about it, saying what is the appropriate level of risk that's acceptable? Obviously, there's still a limited budget that can be spent. So where does the next dollar need to be, and what's the most significant risk? How do you mitigate those risks to technology? But then how do we start to work together on the suppliers that are out there? That is a huge challenge for the sector, which is we tend to rely on the same sector, the same companies across multiple organizations. And so our supply chain starts to narrow down. So where are those critical suppliers, and help them be more secure? Not just necessarily treat them as a cost center or a place where you can squeeze a little more profit out of, or a little bit more a little bit more cash out of. But really, how do you invest in their cybersecurity as well? Because their cybersecurity is yours now. And that's the shared risk model of cyber that is very different from the traditional model.
Yeah, I mean, but the one thing I think we do would resonate with us is that four-letter word risk. That we're dealing with this risk every day, the risk to reliability, and this is one of those threats that's emerging, and that I think in the electricity sector that we are well aware of the need to do this.
Absolutely, and it was quickly such a productive conversation with the sector and with the IESO as well, just because that's the terminology and it's well understood. And so how do we build on that, and then how do we collectively work together to reduce those risks? So what can we do is really where we want to concentrate.
And in just the over year that you've been, that your organization's been operating, are you finding that the door's being opened more for you, that people are becoming well aware of the threats that are there?
Absolutely. I think it was building. We started opening before the center was formed. We were opening the door on more public relations, putting more information out there. So we published a lot of things just on our website and tried to get into the media to help raise general awareness and awareness across industry. Certainly for us, though, one of the things that we know we can't scale to is every single individual organization in the sector. So we really value partnerships like the IESO, where we can work together to bring a large group of interested stakeholders together to work on together on a challenge. Because individually, we will never be able to scale to that level, but having organizations like the IESO or the Canadian Electrical Association and others that can help us bring the right people to the table is a huge benefit to us.
And you can start sharing some of that information and start growing that partnership, and we can all learn from one another.
Absolutely, and we can make sure that we're addressing the real concerns of the industry.
Great. Well, Scott, thank you for your time today. Is there anything I've missed? Anything you want to add?
I can't think of anything that we've missed.
I do have one more question for you, actually, and that is, it's more of a, you know, when you think about cybersecurity and think about how much of a business this is becoming, any advice you'd give to anybody who is actually trying to get into this, to this business?
Well, I think the key thing is it is a profession, and so that means education is important. Some of the programs that are at both colleges and universities, there's some colleges that are very much in Ontario that are very much at the forefront of improving cybersecurity education. It's not just about incident response; it's how to bake security in from the start. So, hopefully we get out of the incident handling. So spend some time learning about the basics of things like encryption, the basics of good cybersecurity, how to build proper products, what we used to call, you know, good engineering, that needs to start coming into this industry, and things that the industry, and just building off of that, and curiosity. There's nothing more important. Almost nobody in my organization started off as a cybersecurity engineer. They might have started off as encryption or mathematicians. Some of our best analysts are librarians. So being curious, learning, looking at the skill set you have, what you're interested in, data science is always important. That is another great entry path into cybersecurity.
Great. Thank you very much again for being here.
Great. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Jordan Pennick here. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Joining me for this portion of the podcast is Brendan Rogerson from the ISO's information security team. Thanks for joining me, Brendan.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan, for having me.
No problem. So ensuring the reliability and resilience of the grid is at the heart of everything we do at the ISO, and now more than ever, this includes protecting the system from cyber threats. As these cyber threats increase and grow in sophistication, I think it's fair to say that cybersecurity is now a critical part of the energy industry's reliability efforts to ensure that Ontarians have the power they need when they need it. And earlier in the episode, Scott and Terry talked about the importance of increasing collaboration and information sharing in the electricity sector as a way to bolster the system's resilience against cyber incidents. So, Brendan, can you start off by giving us a sense of what the ISO is doing to enable greater collaboration with our partners inside and outside the industry?
Absolutely. So the ISO has what we refer to as our Cybersecurity Information Sharing Services, which is open to the entire Ontario electricity sector. This service is a way to give out cybersecurity situational awareness, which is information and the analysis of cybersecurity threats to the sector,
right?
And to share cybersecurity best practices. So part of this is what I think Scott has already talked about, Project Lighthouse, which is our partnership with the Canadian Center for Cybersecurity, where we're looking for, kind of in semi-real time, threats to the Ontario electricity sector.
Yep.
And we're working with our peers in the sector to either respond to those threats, or even better, get ahead of them. On top of that, we have a partnership with the Canadian Cyber Threat Exchange, CCTX, where we have a mechanism for a secure and centralized mechanism, I should say, for sharing that information. So the situational awareness and the best practices, and for discussing with the peers either the challenges they have or the successes they've had when it comes to cybersecurity.
So we've got the information sharing side of things going on. You've launched the project Lighthouse last year and a half ago almost.
About a year and a half.
A year and a half ago.
Early 2019.
So what do we need to do as an industry to stay ahead of the challenges that cyber threats are posing today?
Well, there's always more that we can do, as cybersecurity is a constantly changing field, which makes it exciting but also challenging. The tactics, techniques, and procedures that the adversaries are using are constantly evolving, and we need to match those. But we don't have to do that ourselves. We have an entire industry here that's going to be facing very similar threats and risks. So that's where this whole information exchange is what we feel is the best route to go, because we can learn from the experience and the expertise of our peers in the industry.
Right. And so 2019 was a pretty busy year for the IESO cybersecurity team. Was there an initiative or project that stands out as a major accomplishment for the team that you want to talk about?
2019 was definitely a busy year for us, because the team has grown significantly over the past year. There's been a lot of great work done internally to improve the IESO's ability to detect and respond to threats. And that's work that our team and the rest of the IT teams have been doing that we're all really proud of. For me personally, there is one kind of event, I would call it, that really spoke to what the information sharing services are all about. As early in the year, there was a set of vulnerabilities that were dubbed Urgent 11 that were discovered.
What does Urgent 11 mean?
It was the name given to it, as there were 11 different vulnerabilities that affected a what's called an embedded operating system. So this operating system was in voice over IP phones, firewalls, routers, all these different network devices. If I'm remembering correctly, it was even in a couple airliners.
Wow.
And these vulnerabilities had some critical impacts that could happen. So the IESO, with our partners at the Cyber Center and with the industry, were able to, within about an hour or two of the official announce of this, pull together and publish information to the sector about these vulnerabilities, what the impact is, and some mitigations they can employ to defend and potentially even, well, entirely protect themselves against these.
Right on. And so now that 2020's here, what are the major priorities for the team in the new year?
I'm expecting 2020 to be just as busy as 2019, if not more so. Because of, as I said, this is a continually changing field, advancing our own abilities to respond and detect to threats is always going to be a priority. The stuff I'm really excited for is I'm hoping to generate some new products as part of our information sharing services, focused far more on the operational, the technical side, as opposed to our strategic or tactical audiences.
And are these products for the IESO, or are they for the sector in general?
These are for both.
Okay.
The IESO, we have our internal security operations team that will also be using these products, but also for the sector as a whole.
Right on. And what does this mean for the average person? So, you know, everybody kind of uses electricity on a daily basis, I assume. What is the work that you're doing and the team's doing? What does it mean for the average person?
So everything in security world or cybersecurity is interconnected. Critical infrastructure like the energy sector, public companies, private companies, our personal lives. We all rely on different services and products, and we have a web of relationships. As there's an impact or a negative impact to any part of that web, it ripples out and it impacts everyone. So the inverse of that is true as well. As we increase the reliability or the cybersecurity, I'd say resilience of each part of that web, that improvement ripples out and affects everyone else that relies on those services.
Right. That's great. Any final thoughts that you want to share with the listeners before we go?
Just really how excited I am looking at what's being going on in the Ontario electricity sector. There's been a lot of conversation at all different levels of business, from your technical analysts up to the executives, about cybersecurity and what they can do about it. So really, I just want to keep encouraging that conversation with either your peers outside of your organization or those inside of it, to talk about the challenges you face and the successes you've had so we can all address these as an industry instead of individually.
That's great. And that seems to be the general message that we're hearing, whether it was Scott or from yourself, Brent, is that it does take a team across the ISO, but also across the industry to make sure that we're protecting the electricity system for Ontarians.
Absolutely. Everything is interconnected. So.
Great. Well, thanks very much, Brendan, for coming on the show today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. To stay up to date on the latest initiatives taking place across Ontario's electricity industry, we invite you to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, or by visiting us at www.ieso.ca. Thanks for listening.